Well, take just a minute. Brother Jim's coming to speak for us. Been a good friend for many years. We used to take our teens to camp together. His church would come and our church would come, compete against one another. We've always been friends. Hadn't got a chance to spend a lot of time together. But one thing that I've always loved about Brother Jim, it's always been the desire of my heart, and that is that he loves the Lord with all of his heart and wants to do anything to please the Lord. And that is without price. And so, Brother Jim, you come and speak for us.
I'd like to have you take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 2, if you would. Exodus chapter 2. And as you're turning, I have to make a comment about the seniors tonight. First of all, that speaks volumes of your church that you have that many that graduated. And I understand that not every one of them went to Temple. And I think that says a lot for your church and your outreach in the community as well. And I just want you to know, church member, you need to go to these seniors and tell them that you'll be praying for them. And you need to pray to God that they would be laborers into the harvest. That out of this church, there would be many that would be sent to the mission field, into the ministry, into Christian education. And that every one of those lives that you just saw up here, that they would go on to live for God in a great way. And let them know that this church will always be behind them. So many times, young people graduate from high school and we never see them again in church. May that not be true with the 7-8 that were standing up here just a little bit ago. And praise the Lord for that. And I love the emphasis on the youth and the young people. And what you just saw is the future of America. And we really need to lift them up. So here's what we're going to do. There is no outline tonight. We are going to go very quickly through the scriptures. And I want to share with you some passages. I do recommend that you write down these references. I think you're going to be amazed at how people prayed for their country and how God answered those prayers. So this morning, we had a question. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I've given you two answers. Our choir this morning helped us with the third answer. To turn the tide, we're going to have to pray to God. And we saw this morning that if the foundations of our land be destroyed, what can we as the righteous do? Number one, become discerning in your perspective. We need to know the times. We need to understand what's going on in our culture, technology, media. There's so many things that have an agenda and are driving that agenda. We as believers in God and trusting in the Word of God need to be able to separate God's way from man's way. And then we need to be dedicated to the purpose that God has given to us and never be ashamed. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We need believers to live like believers in Jesus Christ. We need to take a stand and we need to say, this is all for the glory of God. It doesn't matter where I'm at. It doesn't matter if we're at Subway. It doesn't matter if we're here, there, or whatever. We want to live for God in that setting. And I'm telling you, that is so important in our world today. But number three, not only become discerning in your perspective and dedicated to your purpose, but become determined in your prayer. I don't think this, I don't wish this, I know this in my very spirit, that I believe there will still be a time of revival in America. When I go to a camp, I'm believing that that camp is going to be the igniter, the match that gets things started. I don't teach college students and not believe in every class that I teach that God, this is going to be the group that's going to start revival in America. The darker the night, the brighter the light. This is a great opportunity for revival to break out in America. People are searching. People do not have answers. And I'm telling you, I think this is a great time to live. And I believe that Christ could come tonight. I know I could hear the shofar trumpet. I know we could be in heaven tonight. But I'll tell you, if God tarries, I believe there will be one more awakening in America. And we need to pray that way. So let's begin. And let's begin by prayer. Father, I ask that these passages, whatever passage it's going to be to touch every person here, I pray, Father, that everyone would be amazed at what the Bible says about praying for their land and for their country. And that, Lord, that we can call upon you. And that word that we learned this morning, that Solomon says, give me a Shema heart. Father, it amazes me that you're going to Shema to our prayers, that you're going to hearken to our prayers. So, Lord, I pray that the passages will do its work and then even prepare us, Lord, for I believe the Lord's Supper tonight as well, that, Lord, we remember what Christ has done. Thank you for our country. We look now at the scriptures to know how to pray for our country. He asks this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me, if you would, in Exodus chapter 2, at the very last, a couple last verses, verse 23 and 24. Listen to what it says. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried. Now listen to this. In other words, the forefathers have died of Egypt, those that were friendly to Joseph and Joseph's descendants. Now they are all gone. And now they are in bondage under the leadership that is in Egypt right now. Sound familiar? And they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God, everyone together, what's the next word? Heard. What is the Hebrew word for heard there? Shema. And God Shema their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. They cried out to God, and God heard them and sent a deliverer in the way of Moses. Turn over to Exodus chapter 32. There's two passages tonight that to me are just absolutely amazing, and this is one of them. Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter 32. Listen very quickly to this passage. This is powerful. And the Lord said in verse number 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, I find that very interesting, God has given up on Israel. He will fulfill the Abrahamic covenant now through Moses and his descendants, and God has given up on Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly. Look over at verse 10. Now therefore, this is God, let me alone. Leave me alone about Israel. And can you not believe that that would be God's response to America right now? Let me alone. Let me just judge America. Now, therefore, let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them and that I make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? God, these are not my people. These are your people, and they carry your name. After Moses prays, look at verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants. Then look at verse 14. After Moses prays, and the Lord repented. Very interesting word in the Hebrew. It is a strong breath. It can be a, but it can also be a, ah. It means the word is a strong breath of air. It's either a sigh or a lament. So what happens after Moses prays? God doesn't change his mind. He's immutable. But what does God do? Moses' prayer touched the heart of God, and God went, "Ah, oh, I'll spare Israel." Would to God we prayed that God's heart would be moved like that. That is an incredible verse. Six times in the Old Testament it says that God repented. Many times it's kind of a, "Oh, it repenteth me that I made man. It repenteth me that I made Saul king." It's not that he made a mistake. It's that he groans, "Oh." But then in Nineveh, here, it's, "Ah." It's a strong breath of sigh. "Moses, because of your prayer for Israel, I'll spare it. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." Man, that's the way we need to pray. Okay, there's another one with that. Don't turn to it though, because I'm going to kind of just keep going through here. But if you can turn to Joshua chapter 10. But as you're turning to Joshua 10, let me read to you Psalm 106 verse 23. Because in Psalm 106 verse 23, it is in reference to Exodus 32. Psalm 106 verse 23, listen to this. "Therefore he said," that would be God, "that he would destroy them," that would be Israel, "had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach." That's going to be important a little later on. "Stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them." Psalm 106 and verse 23 indicates, if you thought like, "Well, I'm not sure you're interpreting that right, Brother Shetler, in Exodus 32. Oh, let me tell you something. Psalm 103, verse 23 indicates, had not Moses prayed, God would have thrown his wrath on Israel. And I'm telling you, you can change the heart of God. You can move the heart of God to bring mercy. We just heard a song about wonderful, merciful Savior. God will give mercy on this land. You've got to believe that your prayers can still make a difference. I love Joshua chapter 10. I love the book of Joshua, but I love Joshua chapter 10. And here we have not the same Joshua as he was in chapter 1. In chapter 1, he is so scared that he's got to follow Moses. But in chapter 10, he's running on all cylinders now. And look at verse number 12 of Joshua 10. "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajan. And the sun stood still." Look at verse 14. "And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord," "hearkened," what's the word, everyone together? Shema, that's Shema. "That the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Now, Temple, you guys have had a little bit of this. I've had three people now tell me the story how you got your permit on your property. And I'm going to tell you, that's as big a miracle as the sun standing still. That was a God thing of what God did that night in that council. You've seen that. Now, let me tell you something. That same God that stood the sun for Joshua's prayer is the same God that can still move in our country, in our land today. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And I'm going to start reading the last few verses of 1 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse 20. "And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turned not aside from following the Lord." And this is what we got to see happen with God's children in America. "But serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside. For then should you go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain." We need to pray for the people of God. "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." Now listen to this. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right. By the way, all three of my points today are found in this passage of Scripture. Here's the discerning. We just looked at the determined prayer, and we're going to see the dedication here in just a minute. Teach you the good, said the right, and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart. Let you be dedicated to your purpose. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Boy, don't you just love what Samuel says there? I would sin if I stopped praying for my country. It would be sin if I didn't pray for my country. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, probably the most familiar verse in the entire Old Testament on praying for a country. We need to remember it. It's a promise. It's a conditional promise. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want all of us, if you would you all say that verse with me? 2 Chronicles 7:14, everyone together. If my
people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Wow. It is a conditional promise based on the reaction of God's people and responding of God's people, and for them to pray, God will heal their land. And yes, I will hear is the word from heaven, is the word Shema again. All right, we've got one more. Take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. I've preached this at camps before. You've heard messages on standing in the gap. I don't think you understand the context of it. The context of it is, will somebody stand in the breach? Will somebody stand in the gap of prayer? If the context of this passage is, will somebody pray for your country? Look what it says in verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. We're experiencing that with the inflation that we are in right now. And have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. I'm just telling you, that verse is descriptive of what's happening in America. And then what does God say? And I sought for a man among them that should make up the heads, now listen to this, and stand in the gap, everyone together. What are the next two words? Before me. Stand in the gap before me. What does that mean? Pray to me. I looked for somebody that would pray for this country. I looked for somebody that would stand in the breach and lift up to me the needs of this land before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore, have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Why? Because nobody stood in the gap and prayed for the land. Nobody prayed for the country to see revival and to come back. Nobody stood before me to pray like Moses had in years gone by. And now I'm going to put my wrath upon them. Let me give you a quick prayer list, and then I want to do something very quickly. Number one, tonight, let's pray for God's people would humble themselves, seek God, turn from sin and pray. Number two, that God would allow us to live peaceable lives by giving us godly, moral leaders. Number three, that American history's foundation would be revealed truthfully. that we would understand what our true history is. Number four, that we would stop hating, that we'd become colorblind, and that we would stop killing life in the womb. And number five, that our military and law enforcement would be vigilant, courageous, and be protected themselves as well. That is my prayer list tonight. You may have others as well. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask Pastor Pittman to close us in a word of prayer, but I'd like to have five men come up and take one of these and maybe something very short prayers, but I'd like to have five men lead us and stand in the gap for us and pray for our country, because I believe that we could still see something happen in America. We don't need long prayers, but we need sincere prayers. So do I have, I didn't talk to anybody. So do I have five men? Could you come on up here? And Pastor, you would close us. And I know this is not normal what you do, but it's Memorial Weekend. And I need five men from this church that will pray for this country and stand in the gap. Where are my five men? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. I need three more. Amen. I need two more. Amen. I need one more. I need another man to pray for America. We got anyone else? Well, if you feel led during these prayers, you come. I'm going to start. Brian, you start. We'll go right down. And Pastor, you close us in a word of prayer. Take one of these requests. Lift it up to God. Let's all stand. And let's ask God and let's pray for our country. And if there's somebody else that feels led, you come on down during this prayer time. Brian, they don't need to be long prayers, but ask God to work.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you and we really plead for your mercy. We plead for your help. We've seen in a few years how much things have changed. And we know that as we learn in your word that the sin of your people, that can be it breaks your heart, and there are consequences for it. I ask, Lord, that we would turn from our sin and that you would take the leadership that we're electing and those that we're putting in office, and that you would put the right people in office, Lord. And it doesn't take many. It takes those who love you, Lord. That we would ask for people that love you, that want to serve you, that are willing to put all things on the line for you and to obey you with a clean heart. Lord, we ask that you would put them in office. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we just pray now that you would be with our leadership, our foundation of our country. Everyone, Lord, realizing here in America what it stands for in truth, what we've established and how far we've gotten from that and how much blindness we have, and we're raising generation after generation that's getting further and further away. Lord, I pray that we as men and women here tonight will be part of that, standing in the gap for you. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, Satan is working in the background and telling great lies and finding demons to spread them. One of them is that an unborn baby is not a human being. Heavenly Father, no one can, I don't see how anyone can actually believe that, but Heavenly Father, that lie has become part of our established government belief system in this country. Heavenly Father, that is, millions of babies are being killed and not even given a chance to serve you. And if it's a women's rights issue, at least 50% of them would be women if they were allowed to come to fruition. So Heavenly Father, I beg you, I pray to you to intervene on our behalf. Save this country from this horrible sin. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you that you know our needs before we even present them to you, Lord. And I just ask that you protect our military and be vigilant and courageous. We have a lot of people that serve the military here, Lord. And as we celebrate this, as we remember the people on Memorial Day weekend, for all those who fought, just help us to keep back on the ideals that to trust in God and point to you, Lord. And just unfortunately, our country is heading in the wrong direction. And as Brother Joe mentioned, I don't think you're going to bless this country until we start killing unborn babies, and we have to protect the innocent, Lord. I just pray that you pray a hedge of protection over our military, who's trying to protect our country from all enemies foreign and abroad, Lord. I pray that you be with the policemen who are doing their very best to keep justice, Lord. And I'm so thankful for all the policemen and military soldiers we have in our congregation and who retired from, Lord. I just pray that you just pray a hedge of protection there over them, Lord, and know that no matter how bleak is, that you have their back, Lord. And when God's on your side, that's all you need. And thank you for being just a wonderful, loving God and allowing us to present these offerings to you, Lord, because you're a mighty God. And we know that when we're the most desperate, that's when you come and we humble ourselves. Thank you for being a wonderful God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Lord, we come humbly before you as your servants. We just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us here on this earth. God, we ask that you help us not to use it in a wasteful way, maybe fruitful for your glory, Lord. God, as Brother Shetler preached, we just ask that you would give us discernment to seek the truth and not fear from it, Lord, that we don't bury our heads in the sand. God, we're lost as a nation. Give us mighty men and women to stand for truth. Lord, we want to unify as a country. We want to be unified, but so many are seeking that is which is not true. Lord, help us to seek that truth. God, you're good. You're bigger than all of this. You're mighty. We pray that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we are able to see the difference between right and wrong, and we stand. God, we thank you for this Memorial Day, for those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. God, be with their families. Lord, we're so, so grateful that as believers we can stand here, we can worship you for the freedom that you've given us, our God-given right, Lord. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we would agree with Moses and Ezekiel that we don't deserve to have your ear. Lord, we're all a part of the wickedness of this country, even though we don't commit it, Lord, if we don't stand up and pray and try our best to do what's right. Lord, our part is to live right before you. Lord Jesus, tonight I ask that you bless our young people, that as they, these 7 or 8, go past high school, that they would have a heart to stand up and do right with such a sweetness and such a pleasantness that it's infectious. Lord, but with a backbone that's supported by your word. Lord, help us to be able to teach through our WANA programs and through our Sunday school and through this pulpit that your word is right and that we need to compare everything that's going on in our country to your word. Lord, that we could choose, we could discern between right and wrong. Lord, would you speak to the hearts of the leadership of our country? Lord, to each of us as Americans, Lord, I pray that we could stand up on our knees to plead for our country. And Father, we enjoy the freedoms. We can go to work, make a living, buy a home, take vacations, come to church. Lord, help us not to take it for granted, because it won't be here long if we don't plead for your mercies and your grace. So tonight we plead for our country. We'd like to stand in the gap and ask your blessings upon it tonight, Lord, and that great blessing of repentance, that we can see our sin and turn from it. Lord, that you would help us to turn our back on that which displeases you. Lord, as we remember you tonight, help us to purpose to bring you glory. In your name we pray. Amen.